Welcome everybody
Blog
to
Talk
the Hip
Radio.
Hour on the radio. It is the 2-hour gospel special on Sunday. Do it every week. Today is Joel Osteen. I get to him right now. And then at the end, you're going to be able to, I'm going to announce the guest appearances for this coming week. I'm going to get to it. Right now, let's go.
God bless you and welcome to Lakewood. It's always our joy to have you as a part of our online family and listening live on SiriusXM. We have a great service lined up today. I said every time, you're going to leave better than you came.
We pray that today you will find so much hope and so much joy in this service, and that you will find strength that'll carry you through another week, meeting every challenge that you will face. And we just want you to know how much we appreciate you and how much you mean to us. So enjoy the service.
This is a new day. I'm calling out the mighty hero. The forces that are for you are greater than any force that's trying to stop you.
And we believe today, God, that you will do what only you can do.
He calls you a barrier breaker, a prized possession.
Welcome, everyone. So glad to have you at Lakewood today. Thanks for coming out. How many of you are ready to worship the Lord this morning? And I love that. Even like we're singing, hey, it's another day the Lord has made. And I feel blessed to be able to spend part of my day with you guys, just people full of faith. And as I said earlier, so many watch online and listen live on SiriusXM. But we're going to have a great service today. Always believe, declare, pray that not one of us are going to leave the same way that we came. I mean, you gave us your time, you gave God your time, but I believe you're going to go out of here with more joy, more faith, and more victory, just ready for a blessed new week. I love that scripture. It says God is a rewarder of those that seek after him. There's a lot of things you could be doing, but you said, I'm going to the house of the Lord. You said, God, I'm going to put you first place. So just believe you're going to see the goodness of God in great, great ways. So one thing I think we all have to do is, if there's anything trying to weigh us down, this is a perfect time to say, God, I'm turning it over to you. You know, the worry, the guilt, the mistake, or whatever, maybe it's a big challenge in your future. Let me tell you, God's got you in the palm of his hand. He's fighting your battles today. And I believe that as you send those praises up, that's when blessings can come back down. But, you know, if we're worried and discouraged or I'm tired, that's the wrong frame of mind to receive. So let's empty all that out and say, God, we know you're on the throne. You're good. You've given me breath to breathe another day. That's what allows you to receive the awesome things God has in store. But thanks for coming out. We're going to have a great service. And I just believe and declare you're going to go home better than you were before. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I receive that. I love that. But, you know, if you're tired this morning, I want to tell you, you're about to wake up. You're about to get supercharged, because that's what praise and worship does. It supercharges our spirit. Because when we put God in the middle of our praise, He promises that He will inhabit our life. He'll bring us strength. He'll bring us joy. And you know, no one knew that better than David. King David, he said in Psalm 34, he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." Now, David was a worshiper for most of his life. We read in the scripture that he worshiped God in the shepherd's field. He prepared for his life during worship in the shepherd's field. Then King Saul would call him in sometimes, and King Saul would be what they call vexed in spirit. I guess he was anxious, worried. He just had a spirit that was down. And when David played the harp, the scripture says that it relieved King Saul. So David knew the importance of worshiping God, bringing him into the center of his life. And so I think we should take our cue from him and put a great importance on worshiping God, not only by ourselves, but like you're doing today, coming together and magnifying the Lord. So I just want to encourage you today to give it your all. Give it to God. God, you know, you may not, I sing out of key, off tune, but I sing anyway. Joel, he's a little more reverent when he sings. He'll raise his hand. He'll do like this. But you know what? The truth is, you ought to hear him sing at home. It's pretty good, but that's for another day. But anyway, it is good. It is good when he sings all through the house. But anyway, I'm getting off my point. My point is, when we come together, listen, all heaven hears us. When we come together in worship, it brings strength. It brings joy. So let's enter in to this holy and reverent time with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Father, we thank you so much that you will place joy in our heart. As we lift you up, you said you draw all men unto yourself. And Father, we know the best place to be today is right where you are. So that's what we've shown up. That's why we've come, to be in your presence today, Lord. I thank you that there are miracles in the making, that people's lives are being turned around, that problems are being solved, because you are a God that does not lie. You are a God full of promises, and that's why we're here to praise you today. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, yeah.
Nothing. the one that can walk on water, the one that can heal the blind man, the one that told the crippled man to pick up your mat and walk. We're singing about Jesus this morning. Come on, what's his name? What's his name? Come on, he's the one that stood in front of the tomb with Lazarus dead and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was risen from the dead. Come on, we're singing about Jesus this morning, who has resurrection power. He can do all things. Come on, he is the one that can speak to a storm, the raging sea, and say, peace, be still, and the storm stops. So whatever you're facing, if you're facing a storm this morning, Jesus will say, peace, be still, and heal you from that storm. Come on, I love what it says in Philippians. Philippians said that God elevated him, giving him the highest honor, the name above every single name. And it is at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Come on, what's his name? He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one with the power to save. He's the only one that can raise a man from the grave. No one else can do it. No one but Jesus. Thank you, Father. I've read the story of all that you've done, a former glory and glory still to come. You are the promise on every page, the hope of a Savior, the name above all names. Who can do a make impossible come true, take a broken heart and make it new? No one but Jesus, who can make a blind man see the light, who can raise the dead things back to life, take a million wrongs and make them right. No one but Jesus. There is no other King on the throne, God without equal, you reign above it all. And even in trouble, we won't be consumed, for we are standing on the rock. The power to save and heal and deliver, only Jesus. Come on, let's declare this out into this atmosphere. Wherever there's faith, God, you make a way. Come and do it right now, Jesus. No mountain too great, no chain. Wherever there's faith, God, you make a way. Come and do it, come and do it.
Jesus, we love you today. We thank you that you're on the throne, that you're in control, that you're all powerful, and Lord, that you have each one of us in the palm of your hand. Lord, we don't take for granted that you woke us up this morning. You gave us breath to breathe and strength to get out of bed, life to live. You've anointed us, empowered us, chose us before we could choose you. Lord, we stand here today redeemed and forgiven as children of the Most High God. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for all that you've done. We know every good thing has come from you, our Father in heaven above. Lord, as we start the new week off right, as we start the new week off, Lord, we say that you're our Lord, our God, our Savior. Make us and mold us into who you want us to be. Lord, I thank you that you're going before us right now and making the crooked places straight, opening right doors and closing wrong doors, bringing the right people across our path and weeding out those that should not be there. Lord, I thank you that we'll make decisions that honor you and move us toward our God-given destiny. And Lord, thank you that we will not be at this same place next year as we are right now, but we are moving forward, stepping into new levels of our destiny, closer in our walk with you, better off in our health, in our career, in our finances, in how we treat people. Lord, I thank you that we'll never get stuck or stagnant, but we are growing and stretching and stepping into new levels of our destiny. Lord, I thank you as well, as we're worshiping you this morning, that every force that's trying to stop us has been broken in the name of Jesus. Depression, anxiety, addictions, chronic pain, sicknesses, trouble at work, at home, in our finances. Father, I thank you today is a breakthrough day, that you're doing what only you can do. Lord, we may have some giants, but our eyes are upon you. We know, Lord, you've given us a slingshot. We know your favor surrounds us like a shield. We know we are well able to do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, our hope is in you today. Just thank you, Lord, for all the people under the sound of my voice just breathing strength and favor and new opportunities and fighting their battles, and Lord, taking them where they can't go on their own. Lord, I thank you that we'll finish 2023 strong. Lord, that you'll show out in our lives, even before the year is over, in a new way. Lord, we release our faith, blessing us so we can be a bigger blessing in Jesus' name. And Lord, I do lift up those that are fighting battles in their health, those in the hospitals, not feeling well. Lord, you said you'd restore health back to your people. So, Lord, I speak healing and wholeness to all those that need it. Lord, I thank you even right now, we just receive it flowing into our bodies. Lord, driving out every sickness and disease and infection and whatever it may be. Lord, our eyes are upon you. I thank you that with long life, you will satisfy us. That even today, the tide of the battle is beginning to turn in our health. Healing, wholeness, that we will run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. In Jesus' name. And Lord, as well, I lift up those that have gone through loss, those that are in tough times. Lord, people all over the world that are hurting and just in crazy situations. Lord, I just speak peace and healing and wholeness. Lord, you said you're close to the brokenhearted. Lord, I just ask that they'd feel your presence right now, that your angels would minister to them. I thank you, Lord, that what's meant for harm, that you know how to turn to their advantage. You know how to bring them out of difficulty. You know how to restore what's been stolen. So I thank you, Lord, for beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. You said weeping endures for a night, but joy is coming. So, Lord, I speak fresh vision, fresh anointing, fresh favor, new beginnings, joy in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you not for an average week, for a blessed week, that we are victors and never victims. In Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen today? Amen. I receive it as well. Well, we always like to take a moment to speak words of life and faith and victory. Sometimes, you know, life can kind of program us, and, you know, with the wrong thoughts, the wrong labels. That's why I think it's good every day. We do it every service. But just let's get in agreement with what God says about us. When you say these words, just let them sink down into your spirit. Are you ready? I am blessed, prosperous, redeemed, forgiven, healthy, whole, talented, creative, confident, secure, disciplined, focused, prepared,
qualified, motivated, valuable, free, determined, equipped, empowered, anointed, accepted, and approved. Not average, not mediocre. I am a child of the Most High God. I will become all I was created to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every time we say that, we give the enemy a nervous breakdown. He would love for you to settle where you are, but you make that declaration, I will become all I was created to be. He would love for us to think, you know, we're just average, we're mediocre. No, we are children of the Most High God. Keep that playing in your mind all through the week. And I love what we were singing earlier. It says that God can turn mourning into dancing. He can turn sorrow into joy. You got to know today, we serve a turnaround God. Sometimes we look at situations and we say, oh, not me, Joel. It's just, you know, my health, my finances. I've had this addiction a long time. One touch of God's favor can turn anything around. It may be impossible for you, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm not saying to deny the facts. I'm just saying this. God, you know, I may not see a way, but God, I know you have a way. I know you're on the throne, that you're fighting my battles. Remember that time in the scripture? I don't know if I have the story exactly right, but a funeral procession was coming. I think they were burying a little boy, and they were taking him to another city. So this whole procession was coming, but Jesus was walking this other way. He didn't know the people, but he stopped and he raised that little boy from the dead. That funeral procession turned around and went back home. I often think about, you know, they're coming back to the city. Why y'all back so soon? Well, we met a man that turned us around. He raised this little boy back from the dead. So it just shows me that we serve a turnaround God. You know, he could have just healed somebody, but, you know, he brought something dead back to life. And so that's God showing us that even when it looks impossible, God can do the impossible. We look at it in the natural, but God is supernatural. When we believe, all things are possible. That's why I like to remind us every week, you know, let's take the limits off of God. Yeah, we may have some big giants, but like I prayed, God's giving you a slingshot. His favor on your life will bring down giants. You and God are a majority. 2023, you're going to finish the year strong. You're going to see God show out in this last month or so, do something unusual, out of the ordinary, in Jesus' name. Amen. I receive it as well. Let's take a moment to pray individually. Guys, here in the auditorium, if you have anything you would like for us to agree with you in prayer about, we'd be honored to do it. During this next song, anyone's welcome to come for prayer. All over the building. Up top, there's a prayer partner for you. Come on down if you need prayer. Rest of you, you're welcome to be seated if you like, and we'll take a moment to pray. My brother Paul's out to pray for you guys online. Always honored to have you and listening live on SiriusXM as well. But thanks for being with us today.
I'd like to welcome our online audience again. We're so glad you chose to join us. We want you to know for all the Lakewood people out there that we love you. We pray for you each and every day, and we believe God has good plans for your future. We know a lot of people are joining from all around the world. We want to welcome you. You know, Africa is near and dear to my heart. I welcome all of the people from Africa that are watching right now. So we want to start by praying for your needs, but let me remind you of two scriptures that are very meaningful. The first is this. Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now think about that. You might say, Paul, I don't feel righteous. We're righteous because of what Jesus did for us. So that means our prayers are powerful and effective. And then listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said these words. He said, when any two of you agree is touching anything, it'll be done by my Father who's in heaven. Think about that, friends. When we join our faith together, Jesus said that prayers will be answered by his Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. So let's just go to the Lord and pray for several of our prayer requests. But before we start that, let's think about some praise reports. William called in and said Victoria prayed over his arthritis 5 months ago, and he said finally he's healed. What a great praise report, William. And Debbie is retired this week and is now living in Hawaii. What a great thing for Debbie and William. I think about that one leper who came back to say thanks. That's exactly what they're doing, thanking God for what he's done. But let's just turn to the Lord for some of the prayer requests right now. Two requests for education. Nirma asked that God would help her pass all of her final exams, and Ray, for his daughter to finish her college semester well. So let's just pray for Nirma and Ray. Lord, we just pray for Nirma right now, that you'd just give her wisdom as she takes these tests, Father. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you'd give her recall. Father, you'd give her a peace that passes understanding as she takes the test. And Father, as she sits down to take the test, Father, I pray that you just not only give her recall and wisdom, but you'd give her your favor, Father, not only to pass, but to do exceedingly well during this exam. And Lord, we pray for Ray's daughter. Father, you'd be with her as she finishes up this semester. Help her to be disciplined. Help her to study hard, Father. Father, and as she does her part, I pray, Father, you would do your part and help her to do well in her final exams, Father. Give her safety as she travels back to her home for the Christmas break. So be with Ray's daughter, Father, in Jesus' name. And then several prayers for healing. One of the first ones we want to pray for is Heidi. She has back pain. And then for Sharon, who has upcoming surgery. So let's just remember these people for, in prayer right now. Father, we pray right now for Heidi and, Lord, for her back pain. Thank you that you're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Father, we thank you that you're more than able to correct whatever is wrong. So, Father, we pray right now for Heidi that you would touch her back and you would heal it, Father, whether it's arthritis, whether it's a disc disease, Father, whether it's a nerve entrapment or impingement, Father, whatever it is, we pray, Father, that you would relieve her back pain. You would touch her and you would heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Relieve all that pain, Father. We pray that in Jesus' name. And for Sharon, Lord, in her upcoming surgery, we pray, Father, that you would just be with her. Pray, Father, that you would give her the doctor's wisdom as they take care of her. Pray, Father, that from the very beginning of her surgery, the pre-op area, the anesthesia, the surgery itself, post-op and recovery, Father, I pray that you'd be with her. Father, you'd just thank you that you said in your word that you're a very present help in the time of trouble. Be with her. May she feel your health. Help. May she feel your strength. Father, and we pray that you would just, whatever she's having surgery for, pray that the operation would be successful and you'd restore her to health and well-being, Father, in Jesus' name. And then we have several people that need prayer for cancer. They need healing from cancer. Charlie has his aunt battling cancer. Amy has a friend battling lung cancer. Jillian has a sister with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And Judith, for her brother, who's fighting brain cancer. So let's just lift these people up to God in prayer right now. Father, we pray right now for Charlie, Lord, and just pray for his aunt who's battling cancer. Lord, for all the people that are battling cancer that we're going to pray for, we just pray, Father, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and Father, every cell in their body would line up with the Word of God, and that you would touch them and that you would heal them. Father, that as you cursed that fig tree and it died at its roots, Father, we pray that the cancer would be cursed and would die, Father. Every cell in their body that is not lined up with your word would, Father, would die, and you would restore health and healing to them. So be with Charlie's aunt, Father, who's battling cancer. Be with Amy, Father, with her friend who's battling lung cancer. Again, Father, we pray that you would just touch and heal Amy's friend. Father, I pray that you'd use the doctors and their wisdom, use the medicines and their effectiveness, Father. But ultimately, Father, we look to you as our healer. And we pray that you would touch and you would heal Amy's friend. And for Jillian's sister with pancreatic cancer, Father, I pray that you would touch her, heal her, restore her to health. Father, satisfy her with a long life and show her your salvation. And for Judith, Father, and her brother battling brain cancer, pray that you would touch him and heal him. And for all those that are battling sickness, Father, and going through difficult times, we pray that your peace that passes understanding would be all around them and guard their, not only their hearts, Father, but their minds. You'd give them a peace that passes understanding. Father, we thank you in advance that you've heard our prayer. And not only have you heard our prayer, you will answer our prayers, Father. And we look forward to the good report of what you've done in my friends' lives. Friends, we love you. We pray for you each and every day, and we believe God has great things in your future.
you so much, Arthur. Amen. Well, we believe, like the scripture says, that the moment we pray, the tide of the battle begins to turn. So if you got prayed for today, you know, you may think, well, Joel, I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. But that's what faith is all about. God, I believe when we prayed on December 3rd at the 11 o'clock service, 2023, something changed in my favor, that you sent healing. You sent your blessings. You sent those turnarounds. But thanks for being here, guys. I asked some of my family and some of my friends to come up, and we're just going to take a moment to maybe give some practical tips about how to start the new year. I believe often how we start the year can determine what kind of year it's going to be. And I love that scripture where Jesus said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Let's not go into a new year with old attitudes and old thoughts and old limitations. Often God prepares the vessel before he'll put the new wine in. So my thinking is, hey, guys, let's get prepared. In other words, God, we're ready for a blessed 2024. We're going to make any adjustments we have to make. Maybe there's some tweaks we have to make, and they'll share some practical tips with us. But we just believe in it's going to be an awesome end of the year and a blessed 2024 as well. Y'all know my sister Lisa, my beautiful wife Victoria, Pastor Nick, Pastor Devontae. Who are we starting with? Pastor Devontae, you start us off, my friend. Pastor Devontae runs our youth and is an amazing pastor and amazing friend and minister and a lot of other good things.
I think when you're talking about preparing for what God wants to do, you have to change the way that you see. See, I wear glasses and contacts, and I've learned a valuable lesson by needing to get help with my eyesight. Without the proper lens, I won't see a proper reality. See, spiritually, it works the same way. You have to see what God says with the right perspective in order to have the reality that he desires for you to have. Let me give you an example. If he calls you a mighty warrior, but you see yourself as weak and incapable, you'll never step into the position that God has called you to. That's why you have to have the eyes of faith. You see, sometimes your vision has to go to the future before the rest of you catches up. So you don't see yourself as defeated. See yourself as victorious. Don't see yourself as rejected. You see yourself as accepted. Don't see yourself as just surviving. See yourself as thriving in every area of your life. The Bible says that you're more than a conqueror. The Bible says that you are a chosen, redeemed child of God. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but this year might have been a rough chapter, but the story's not done being written. So you have to see with the eyes of faith and know that if you change the way you see what God says and the way you see yourself, that he will exceed your expectations.
That's so good, Pastor Devontae. I love that. Y'all hear me talk about a lot about Gideon. You know, God called him a mighty hero. The angel came and called him a mighty hero while he was hiding in a wine press. And man, thank goodness he changed his mindset. But God's calling us all mighty heroes. Let's get our thinking in line with God's thinking. You know what? We are mighty awesome people ready for a blessed year. But that's awesome. Thanks so much. Sister Lisa, what are you thinking?
Well, I was just thinking, Joel, about the new year. It's such a good time to consecrate ourselves to God by just making every effort to honor God in every area of our lives and to put him first place in every area of our lives. And I just thought of two or three areas we could think about, but we could start doing this by giving God the first part of our day. Just something practical, spending time with God in his word, meditating on the word, dwelling on what Devontae said, who God says you are, asking God for wisdom. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, in all your ways, not just some of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he's going to make all your paths straight. So when you start your day off with God, you know, you're including him in your life, and you're acknowledging to him, you know, God, I need you. I need your wisdom, and you're my source. And when you do that, you know, you start your day off full of faith and full of encouragement, and it makes all the difference in the world. Amen? You know, another way you can do it is to honor God within your finances, to put him first in your finances, because the Bible says when you honor God with the first fruits of your income, that he will honor you. You see, God wants you blessed. We want to see you at your full potential financially, to see you own a home and own cars and have a good job and your kids go to college. And God has a financial plan, and it's when you give the first tenth of your income that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings upon you that you won't be able to contain it. And when you give God, honor God with your finances, you're partnering with him to reach the world with this message of hope, with the good news. And when you partner with God, you better believe that God is going to partner with you. And he's going to breathe on that 90% and make it go further than anyone else could. And then the third thing, I'll just mention this because Joel talks about this a lot, but another way we can honor God is to put him first in our decisions and our choices every day. Let's determine to make godly choices. Let's live a no-compromise life. You know, maybe you need to start saying no to some things so that you can say yes to the things God wants you to say yes to. Say yes to, God, I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to pray over for my family. Say yes to God when it comes to following the Holy Spirit. And then start saying no to the things that are pulling you away from God. You see, consecration to God, it requires coming up higher in him. And to live a holy life and to live a life that's pleasing to him. And I'll just give you one example. Daniel had an excellent spirit about him, the Bible says. And he set himself apart from everybody else in the world who didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in his God. And because of that, they put him in the lion's den. But God delivered Daniel because his spirit of excellence that he had upon him. He served God. He was faithful to him. And when the king saw that he was delivered, that God delivered him, he made this decree and said, I want everyone in my kingdom to honor and acknowledge Daniel's God. And so when you put God first in your life and you consecrate yourself to him, people are going to see God on you. They're going to see what your God can do for you. And we're living in such a crazy world right now. And you know, you can't follow the world. You can't follow the crowd because they really don't know where they're going. But we, in following Jesus, we know that we go from glory to glory and that he helps us through this life. And when it's time for our time for us to go home, then we will spend eternity with him. And that's a good life plan right there. But I just believe as you follow him and put him first in every area of your life, God is going to honor every one of you.
That's excellent, Lisa. Thank you so much. Pastor Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, I think as we prepare for next year, I think it's essential that we evaluate our relationships. I think if we're all honest, we can look back in seasons of our life where we saw relationships drastically impact us for good or drastically impact us for the negative. I remember a mentor told me when I was in college, they said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And that really stuck with me. And I think I've seen that really prove true in my life. You know, Proverbs 13:20, it says, hang around the wise and become wise. Hang around the foolish and become foolish. I mean, it's pretty simple, your environment and where you choose to be. You know, I think there's some relationships you can't control, right? You can't control who you sit next to, you know, the cubicle next to you, the person in your class that you're next to. You can't control some relationships, but there are some relationships you do choose. And you do choose some environments, and I think those environments can be incredibly impactful on your destiny. Think about an acorn, and think about that acorn, knowing that packed within that acorn is a mighty oak tree. And for that to come to fruition, it must be planted in healthy soil, a healthy environment. And when it is, it flourishes into something beautiful. But if you put that same seed in a bad soil, you know, where it's full of rocks, not nutrient rich, what happens? It doesn't fully become everything it was shaped to become. And the problem isn't with the seed. The problem is with the environment in which that seed was placed in. What I'm saying is we've all seen that relationships can either limit you or they can unlock you.
Yeah.
And my challenge to you this morning is to begin to think about relationships that will challenge you, that will inspire you. How can I get around better relationships? You see, two great relationships, quality relationships, are better than 50 average relationships. I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about quality. And this is difficult. This is very hard because it means choosing to be around people and walking away from negative relationships, relationships that are causing you to compromise. And those seasons can be lonely. When you're choosing what's best, you're choosing to honor God. But here's the promise of God. You can't give something up for God and him not give you something better in return. So don't see it as I'm losing relationships. No, you're pruning and you're preparing for the great relationship God has for you in 2024. Anyone here believing for some great things and some great rewards coming your way in the form of relationships in 2024?
That's so good. Look, Nick, I loved it. What did you say that last service? You're not losing, you're pruning.
Yes.
Tell that difference real quick.
Yeah, losing means you're in deficit, and pruning means you're preparing for the new things to come. You're making room for the relationships that God has prepared for you.
So good. That's so good. What do you think, Dick?
Well, you know, I think we're all saying today very much the same thing. We're going to be determined. We're going to be determined that God is going to take us to new levels of victory. He has new levels in store for 2024. Yeah, you may have had some things that have held you back or hindered you in the past, but you know what? Those things don't have to hinder your future. You don't have to be limited in 2024. If you make up your mind, I believe that God will help you. I was talking to a woman the other day, and she was moving into a new house. And she said, I'm not taking old mindsets and old ways of doing things into this house. She says, things that have hindered my family are stopping with me. This is a new day. I'm going to think different, and I'm going to believe bigger. She told me how before she ever even moved anything into this new house, she drew a physical line in front of that house. And she said, God, as I step over this line, it's a sign between you and me that I am deciding to move forward. I'm going to break every bad generational habit, and I'm not going to look back. And she told me how things changed for her when she dared to make that part of her vision. See, every time she said she walked into that house, it was a reminder that her past doesn't dictate her future, and that God, with God, things were changing. You see, there will be times we must step over some lines. Lines of compromise. Lines of unforgiveness. You know, you may be thinking today of a line that may be holding you back. Something that is hindering your future. Or maybe it's a line of fear. See, that's what I had to do when Joel's dad passed away. I didn't have much experience in public speaking, and I'd find myself uptight all week long. My mind would be racing, full of fear, full of anxiety. I always felt like there was a pressure that was trying to push against me, to get me to quit and to give up. Until one day I realized, this fear is going to defeat me, or I'm going to defeat this fear. And I was going to have to be determined to push against that fear as strong as that fear was pushing against me. And when I'd get up on the platform, I could feel that fear. And I envisioned a line on the platform. In my mind, I just saw it. And I know that it was trying to hold me back. And so you know what I did? I made this physical action. And I literally would step over that line of fear. And I would see God with his arms open wide, ready to embrace me and to help me. And do you know every time I would literally in my mind step over that line, and that fear that was gripping me was letting go of me little by little. I began to gain confidence. I began to get stronger. You know, this new year is an important year. And as we start this year, there may be some lines you need to draw, some things that you're not going to take into next year. Maybe, you know, you've been passed down some things that felt unfair in your family. Maybe you saw addiction. Maybe low self-esteem. Maybe there was disappointments or people who had hurt you and did you wrong. Maybe you just made some mistakes. Or maybe there's some things that are trying to hold you back. Maybe some things you know God's calling you to do. And you've got to step over some lines. Don't take those old ways and those old thoughts into the new year. So you have to say, enough is enough. I'm not going to live intimidated. I'm not going to live hindered. I'm not going to live defeated, because this is a new day. This is my day. And I believe as you step over some of those lines, God is going to give you the grace and the power to break some of those barriers in your life that have been holding you back. So you can live free. You can rise higher. You can set a new standard for your family. You've been raised up for such a time as this. I encourage you, keep stepping over those lines. You're going to see God do amazing things as you dedicate your life to Him.
Amen. That's so good, Victoria. I felt it, y'all. These are great things. Lord, we dedicate 2024 into your hands. Lord, we're going to keep you first place. We're going to see ourselves the right way. Lord, we're going to evaluate relationships. And Lord, we're going to step over some lines. Lord, I thank you that as we do our part, you've never failed us, that you'll do your part, that you'll take us where we can't go on our own. We love you, Lord God, and we thank you as we finish 2023 strong and for a blessed, victorious, favor-filled 2024. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you today.
Every week, Joel and I are honored to hear from listeners on our SiriusXM radio broadcast. We get so many good reports from lives that have been changed, and it's all because of your support. Lives like Annie from Maryland that call to tell us about how this message of hope affected her family.
My father, who has passed, was a federal judge and just a good man. Not really a believer, just a good man, and taught us, raised us well. We had a great upbringing. One day he called me and he said, I found this minister on TV. His name is Joel Osteen. Have you ever heard of him? And I was like, no, Daddy, I hadn't. So we started to listen together, and every Sunday he would call me. Well, my dad came to know the Lord through you and through, at the end of his life, through a nurse who had you on in the hospital, and he gave his life to the Lord.
Wow.
And I listen to you all the time for the past 15 years. I love you and Victoria, and you've been such a blessing to my family. So thank you for that.
Annie's testimony is a beautiful reminder to all of us that our most important job as a church is to lead others to Jesus. What a miracle it was for Annie's father to find salvation through our ministry in his last moments of life. And what a joy it was for Annie to share that news with all of us. It is your faithfulness and generous giving that allows us to broadcast this life-giving truth of Jesus in every medium and throughout the world. You never know when someone will be discovering the hope of Jesus' love for the first time or even for the last.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for your support. We'll take a moment to receive our tithes and our offerings today. And as you can see with Annie and her father, your donations are really impacting people all over the world. And we are privileged and honored to be on broadcast stations and all kinds of media, and it is because of your faithfulness. And I love what it says in Psalm 112, that all will go well for the generous. I think about Lakewood people because you guys are so generous, and that's just our declaration over each one of you. All will go well in your health, in your career, in your relationships, and in your finances. We're going to finish 2023 strong, and we appreciate you continuing to just be faithful, knowing that you're not giving to necessarily to people, you're giving to God, and you're impacting people all over the world. We love you. God is our source, not the economy, not our jobs. That's all beautiful. But remember, we're connected to a supply line that will never run dry. I want to pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give today. And Lord, we just ask you to bless all of our givers. I thank you that you're multiplying back everything they've sown, Lord, that it will go well with them. Lord, I just thank you that their gifts and talents will come out to the full. Lord, that you'll cause them to have great ideas, wisdom, creativity, bringing them contracts and opportunities. Lord, blessing them so they can be a bigger blessing. Lord, I just speak your abundance and overflow, just your uncommon favor upon their lives. Lord, help those that are struggling in their finances. Just pray that you'll show them a sign of your favor in Jesus' name. God bless you today as you give.
Thank you for being a part of Hope Rising. Your giving is changing lives all over the world. Here are some ways you can give. Scan the QR code using your smartphone. Text Give Hope to 77977. Go online to lakewoodchurch.com/give. Or call us toll-free at 888-567-JOEL. Your giving is changing lives in our city and all over the world.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for being with us today. You might all let's stand together if you would one last time, but we're going to have a great Christmas season this coming up Christmas. Remember Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, so we're going to have a Christmas Eve communion service that Sunday, and then that means New Year's Eve is on a Sunday. So why don't you plan on, if you're in town, celebrate the last year of the day of the year with us, just celebrating what God has done in our lives. We'll just take the whole service and thank God. And then, of course, you guys know every first Sunday of the year, we anoint everybody with oil, if you want to be anointed with oil. But it signifies that we're putting God first place. So it's always a special time. So hope you come back as often as you can, because we have a lot of great things lined up for you. But know this, your new week goes better because you've taken time to honor God, put Him first place by even being here today. And can just... I know there's a lot of things you could be doing, but you said, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. So I always want you to know that God's smiling down on you today. He saw you take the time to come. Not only that, we have people watching from all over the world. We love you guys and listening live on Sirius XM as well. Hey, if you're visiting, I'd love to meet you out in the lobby after the service. I'll be right back that way. But so blessed to have you all here with us today.
When you see yourself on the big screen, can you give our TV audience a great big Lakewood welcome? Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you today. And I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, and social media. And you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. But I'd like to start with something funny. And I heard about this lady. She'd just gotten out of choir practice, and she was so fired up, she put a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker on her car. At the intersection, she was digging in her purse and didn't notice the light had changed. She said, "I was so excited to find out the guy behind me loved Jesus." He started honking. So I rolled my window down, waved real big, and said, "I love Jesus too." She said, "I found out a whole lot of people love Jesus." Everyone started honking. One man even screamed, "Jesus Christ." She said, "After we shared all that love together, I was the only one that made it through the intersection." Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you'd like to open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, you probably know the scripture, but you're welcome to turn there, and we'll put other scriptures up on the screen. And most of you know today at 2 o'clock we have the whole service all in Spanish. An amazing Spanish team leading that. And I always like to remind you as well, Wednesday night our awesome youth over here, they meet up on the fourth floor. And Thursday night the young adults, and just have a great team. Wednesday night our services are online as well, but always something for you here at Lakewood. But I'm very, very honored to have you all with us. I want to talk to you today about a sound mind. There are so many opportunities to live worried, afraid, wondering what's going to happen. You watch the news and see all the violence, suffering, division. Someone texted me last week and said, "This is such a scary time to be alive." People are on edge, thinking, what if the economy goes down? What if the medical report doesn't improve? How can I accomplish my dreams? I don't have the connections. It's easy to let our mind be filled with negativity, doubt, fear. That's the enemy's favorite area to work in. He knows if he can control your thoughts, he can control your life. But Paul said in 2 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is a positive mind, a hopeful mind. It's a mind that's at peace, a mind that knows that God's in control, that he's ordering your steps. A sound mind is not focused on the problems, it's focused on the promises. It's not looking at how big the challenge is, it's looking at how big our God is. A sound mind is not discouraged over the bad break. It's expecting God to open a new door. It's not bitter over who walked away. It's knowing God has someone better coming. That's the way God created us to live, positive, peaceful, trusting. But so many people go around with a troubled mind. I don't see how this problem is going to work out. A worried mind. What if my company has layoffs? A doubting mind. I'll never meet the right person. A negative mind, I can't break this addiction. I've had it for years. What kind of mind do you have? What are you thinking about all through the day? Your life is going to follow your thoughts. And the scripture says, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This is an amazing promise. You can have the same mind, the same thinking patterns as Jesus did. He had all kinds of problems, but he didn't have a worried mind. He had people betray him. He didn't have a bitter mind. He was misunderstood, made fun of, but he didn't have an offended mind. He stood before Lazarus, a man that had been dead 4 days, and called him back to life. He didn't have a doubting mind. He trusted that his Father was in control. He believed that he was called, equipped, and empowered. He had a sound mind. He would have never fulfilled his destiny with the wrong thoughts playing all day long. Pay attention to what's playing in your mind. The enemy would love for us to go through life with a doubting mind, a fearful mind, a worried mind. Don't fall into that trap. You control the doorway to your mind. You can't stop negative thoughts from coming, but you can decide whether or not you're going to dwell on them. God is not going to do this for us. This is something we all have to do. Take control of your thought life. Be selective in what you're dwelling on. If the thought is negative, discouraging, bringing fear, doubt, confusion, dismiss it. Don't give it the time of day. Replace that thought with a positive thought. Replace it with what God says about you. You've seen your best days. It's all downhill from here. No thanks. My latter days will be better than my former days. God, I thank you that you're taking me from glory to glory, that my path gets brighter and brighter. Or you're never going to accomplish your dreams. You don't have the funding, the connections, the experience. Father, thank you that you're opening doors that no person can shut. Thank you that the right people are tracking me down, that good breaks are headed my way. This is our choice, a doubting mind or a faith-filled mind. Thoughts will whisper, this sickness is permanent. Your health is going to keep getting worse. You saw the medical report. If you dwell on that, it's going to create fear, negativity, drain your energy, take your joy. Why don't you dismiss those thoughts? You're in control of what you think about. Turn it around and dwell on what God says about you. Father, you said that you're restoring health back into me. You said the number of my days you will fulfill, that with long life you will satisfy me. That's how you have a sound mind, by being selective in what you think about. And the scripture says to take every thought captive that goes against what God says. Get a picture of that. A negative thought comes. Fear, worry, doubt. You can't be passive, complacent. You have to arrest that thought. It's an intruder. It has no right to stay. You need to get your handcuffs out, so to speak. Lock it up and send it away. Take it captive indicates force, aggressive, being on the offensive. Could have said, just don't think about it. Don't pay it any attention. But God was showing us how important it is that we be proactive. That if we're going to have a sound mind, it's not going to happen automatically. We're going to have to start locking up some things. The Apostle Paul said, give no place to the enemy. Are there some intruders in your mind that you're allowing to stay? Are you giving place to negative, discouraging thoughts? Imagine that worry, that doubt, that fear sitting on your couch, feet up in the air, making themselves at home. How would you feel if a burglar came into your house and started eating your food and sleeping in your bed, sitting on your back porch, watching your television? He wouldn't be there 5 seconds before you would say, excuse me, you are not welcome here. This is my house. You have to leave right now. If he didn't leave on his own, you'd call your wife. You'd call 911. That's how you need to see these negative thoughts. They're intruders. They're trying to keep you from your destiny. Worry, fear, doubt, that's going to limit your vision, cause you to give up on dreams, live stressed out, where you don't enjoy your life. It's time to make some arrest. Lock up some negative thoughts. Get those intruders out of your mind. They're not going to go on their own. You have to force them out. Refuse to dwell on them. Refuse to let the negative play. It's interesting when God says that we don't have a spirit of fear. That word fear in the original language is only used one time in the scripture. All the other times it says fear, that word is talking about not dreading something bad that's coming. It's referring to what we think, not anticipating the negative. But when God said you don't have a spirit of fear, that word for fear implies being passive, complacent, not putting forth effort that's required. The sound mind in several versions is translated a disciplined mind. It refers to self-control and self-discipline. God is saying, if you're going to have this sound mind that I'm giving you, if you're going to stay in peace, full of faith, expecting my favor, then you can't be passive, complacent, and just think whatever comes into your mind. You have to be disciplined. You have to exercise self-control. God has already provided us a sound mind, a peaceful mind, a believing mind. The question is, are you going to keep the intruders out and think about what He's promised? Are you going to lock up those destructive thoughts and not to give the enemy any place? Some people are allowing way too much worry. Those worrisome thoughts have their own bedroom in your mind, so to speak. They eat dinner with you every night. They greet you first thing in the morning. They ride to work with you, go on vacation with you. Why don't you send them an eviction notice? I'm sorry, but your time here is up. I've let you stay way too long. Now you're going to have to leave. No more waking up with worry. Try a different approach and wake up with hope. Wake up with faith. Wake up with gratitude. You get up in the morning, instead of letting those worry thoughts play, Father, thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for my family. Thank you for good health. Lord, I'm excited about this day. Worry can't stay in a house full of faith. Discouragement can't stay in a house full of gratitude. Negativity can't stay in a house full of hope. Maybe you've allowed doubt a place in your mind. It's been there so long, it's taken up residence. You don't think that you can accomplish your dreams. The obstacles are too big. You're not talented enough. That doubt is causing you to settle for mediocrity and quit believing for what God put in your heart. It's time to serve doubt an eviction notice. Start locking up those thoughts. Your mind is the enemy's playground. He's going to feed you all kinds of defeat, lack, you can't do it. You're the wrong nationality. You've made too many mistakes. You've missed your chance. Quit giving him a place. Take control of your thought life. Program it with what God says. I am blessed. I am talented. I am forgiven. I have a bright future. When you think like that, you're evicting doubt, fear, worry. You're giving a room for faith, for hope, for victory. Make sure you have the right tenants living in your mind. I don't know, Joel. I never get any good breaks. I'm not good in math. I'll never pass this course. I can't pay my house off. I'm so worried about my children. And I know those are valid concerns, and I'm not making light of them, but I also know that giving a place to fear, doubt, and worry doesn't do anything productive. It'll cause you to get stuck and not see the great things God has in store for you. And I know people that are so disciplined when it comes to their career. They're productive, excellent, and on time. I know people that are disciplined when it comes to parenting. They're always there for their children, making sure they have everything they need, at their ball games, great supporters. I know people that are so disciplined when it comes to their physical health. They eat right, exercise, they're always at the gym. We can be so disciplined in all these other areas, which is great, but when it comes to our thought life, sometimes we're undisciplined. We let any thought in. We end up living worried, insecure, troubled. What if you had that same discipline in your thinking? You're so responsible in your career, your parenting, your health. Be responsible in your thought life. Quit giving space to thoughts that are limiting you, causing you to live worried, afraid, and intimidated. When my father passed and I stepped up to pastor the church, I had never ministered before. I'd spent those 17 years behind the scenes, but deep down I knew I was supposed to do it. But all these thoughts flooded my mind. You're not qualified. You don't have the training. Nobody's going to listen to you, Joel. You're not like your father. You don't have that big personality. The enemy is not going to let you move forward, take new ground without opposition. His main battlefield is the mind. He'll whisper lies, hoping that you'll take the bait and start dwelling on them. I had to make a decision. Was I going to give those thoughts access to my mind? Was I going to keep dwelling on them? let them take up residence and limit my future? Or was I going to lock them up? Was I going to see them as an intruder and not give them the right to stay? And I did what I'm asking us to do. Instead of believing those lies, I said, no thanks. You're not welcome here. You say I'm weak, unqualified, not enough, but I know who I am. I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. I'm equipped, empowered, and anointed. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I've been crowned with favor. The Most High God is breathing on my life. When you think like that, doubt can't stay. Inferiority has to go. Fear has no place. But had I allowed those lies, I wouldn't be up here today. Don't miss your destiny because you're giving place to the wrong things. Our mind is like a house. It has all these different rooms in it. Something is occupying each room. Imagine there are four bedrooms. One has fear living in it. It moved in during the pandemic. Another has guilt living in it. It's been there since you made that mistake, so down on yourself. Another has doubt living in it. Another room, there's inferiority. It's been there since you were a child, when people made you feel less than, told you how you weren't attractive, you would never do anything significant. What would happen if you would start evicting those wrong tenants? How much higher will you go if you'll evict the doubt, those thoughts telling you that you'll never get well, never break the addiction, never see your family restored? Those are lies. You have to lock them up. They're intruders. They have no right to stay. How much more will you accomplish if you'll evict the unworthiness, thinking you don't deserve to be blessed? You've made too many mistakes. What could you become if you'll evict the not qualified thoughts? Not talented enough. I don't have what it takes. Get those thoughts out of your house. Your mind is valuable real estate. It's time to send the eviction notice. I'm sorry, but you're done here. I have some new tenants moving in immediately. It's faith, it's hope, it's victory. See, here's the key. You will go no further than you think you can go. You will be no more valuable. You will live no more secure, no more confident than how valuable you think you are. The truth is, you are made in the image of Almighty God. He calls you a masterpiece, one of a kind, a prized possession. But if you let the wrong intruders in your mind, if you let inferiority, not good enough, not attractive, if that occupies a room, you won't discover who you really are. When we believed a lie for a long time, the scripture calls it a stronghold. It's a thinking pattern that's keeping us from our destiny. You have to pull down the stronghold. You have to evict the intruder. And it's good to ask yourself, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel like I'm inferior, not up to par, not qualified? Maybe it's because the enemy told you what he told me, but you let the lie take root. You gave the intruder permission to stay. Now he has a room in your house. The good news is you're the landlord. You get to decide who stays, inferiority or confidence. Not good enough or a masterpiece, unqualified or well able. Maybe you need to ask yourself, why am I so worried? Why am I so afraid and on edge, thinking something bad's about to happen? Why is there this underlying feeling that I'm on the verge of things falling apart and can't even really enjoy my life? That's a room you've let the enemy occupy in your mind. And the problem with letting fear and worry in, it's not only taking your peace, but you draw in what you constantly think about. Faith works in the negative just as it does the positive. That negative frame of mind is going to draw in defeat, bad breaks, disappointments. Why don't you evict that tenant? God has you in the palm of his hand. Nothing can snatch you away. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You can say with David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I will not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's fighting your battles right now. His angels are surrounding you. He holds victory in store for the upright. When you let those thoughts occupy a room, you're going to be peaceful, calm, secure. You're going to enjoy your life. Take inventory of what's occupying your house. Some of us have faith, hope, trust. That's good, but we still have that one room of worry. Worry doesn't want to leave. He's stubborn. We know God's on the throne, but we're still a little on edge. What if my business goes down? This medical report's not changing. I thought I'd have the promotion by now. Can I encourage you? God has never failed you in the past, and he's not going to start now. All that worry is doing is causing you to be uptight, not sleep well, run your immune system down. It's time to serve worry an eviction notice. Let peace in. Let faith in. Every time worry comes back, use that as a reminder to thank God that he's working on what you're concerned about. You'll hear that knock on the door. Hey, it's me again. Worry. What about that child? They're still off course. What are you going to do? Father, thank you that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you that my children will fulfill their purposes. When worry knocks, answer back with faith. What if there's a recession, man? What if you don't get that contract? What if your company downsizes? How are you going to make it? Sorry, fear, you're not welcome here. Father, thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Thank you that you're supplying all of my needs, that I will lend and not borrow. See, Philippians 4 says, the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Peace should be one of the rooms in our mind. When you have peace, it's guarding you. It's keeping you from fear, worry, and doubt. One time in the scripture, Peter was arrested and put in prison for sharing his faith. King Agrippa had already killed James, one of the apostles. When he saw how that pleased the people, he had Peter arrested. He was in the deepest part of the dungeon, hands and feet in chains. The next day, he was going to be brought to trial. Peter knew his life could be over in 24 hours. He saw what they had done to James. Now he was next in line. You would think he would be so worried, panicked, pacing the floor. But Peter understood this principle. Fear came knocking at the door. He said, no thanks. I'm going to stay in peace. I know God is still in control. God won't let you get in a problem that he can't bring you out of. And the scripture says, while Peter was sleeping, an angel came and woke him up. How could he be sleeping knowing the next day he could lose his life? That's peace that passes understanding. That's what happens when you take control of your thought life. You'll have peace in the midst of the storm. When you stay calm, when you could be worried, stressed out, can't sleep, you're showing God that you trust him. That's when he'll make things happen that you couldn't make happen. The angel opened up the prison doors, chains fell off his feet, Peter walked out a free man. But when you're in a difficult situation, your health, your finances, a relationship, you can be sure worry will come knocking at the door. Panic, fear, what are you going to do? This is bad. There's no way out. If you let fear in, if you give place to the enemy, he'll tell you all the worst case scenarios. That sickness is going to be fatal. That contract you lost is going to sink you. You'll never recover from this breakup. In those challenging times, more than ever, you have to be disciplined in what you allow in. Don't let the negative play. Don't start envisioning everything that could go wrong. Don't spend 4 hours Googling that sickness, finding all the bad reports. You don't need that negativity in you. Keep the door closed. You need your mind filled with faith, with hope. Father, thank you that you're fighting this battle, that you being for me is more than the world being against me. Thank you that what you have purposed for my life will come to pass. I talked to a young couple. They had been trying to have a baby for many years, but she couldn't conceive. They had been to several doctors, and everything seemed fine. The doctors were puzzled as to why she couldn't get pregnant. She was so discouraged. She said, Joel, my mother had a terrible time conceiving. My grandmother had the same problem. From the time I was a little girl, I was always afraid that that I wouldn't be able to have a child. Job said, the thing I feared came upon me. When we give fear a room in our mind, when we let those destructive thoughts become strongholds, what we're fearing can become a reality. That thought, I'll never have a child, was an intruder. That's the enemy doing what he does the best, trying to plant lies, doubts, fears, hoping that you'll give it a place in your mind. Victory is won or lost in our thinking. You may have negative things in your family line, but you have to say, Father, thank you that I'm the exception. Thank you that this barrenness is not staying in my family. This addiction, this lack, this depression. Father, thank you that I'm a difference maker, that I'm a barrier breaker, that you're doing a new thing, that I will live whole, free, victorious. Clear out those negative rooms. Get those intruders out of your mind. Put some new tenets in, faith, hope, and victory. That's what I told this young woman. She had to get rid of that stronghold and to quit believing that lie, that thinking she could never have children. Instead, she tried a different approach. She started dwelling on what God said about her. Father, you said the fruit of my womb is blessed. You said you'd make me the happy mother of children. You said that no good thing would you withhold because I walk uprightly. So, Lord, thank you that our baby is on the way. Just as fear can draw negative things in, faith can draw positive things in. About a year later, she walked into the lobby up there holding this beautiful baby girl in her arms, beaming from ear to ear. Are there some intruders occupying your mind? Are there tenants you need to evict? Don't let a stronghold, a lie that's taken root, keep you from your destiny. Pay attention to what you're giving room to. And when negative thoughts come, don't be passive. Be disciplined in what you think about. Start locking up those thoughts. You have a destiny to fulfill. There's a calling on your life. God has an assignment for you to accomplish. The enemy wouldn't be fighting you if he didn't know there is greatness in you. He's going to do his best to get you worried, doubting, fearful, discouraged. That may be the way it's been, but this is a new day. Some rooms are being cleaned out right now in our mind. Strongholds are coming down. Wrong tenets are being evicted. I believe and declare you have a sound mind. Like Peter, you're going to sleep through the storms. Like this young woman, things that have hindered your family line are being broken. You're about to see promises come to pass. Healing, favor, breakthroughs, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Amen. I receive it as well. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, stick with me here for just a moment. But Lord, I thank you for what we've heard. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood. And Lord, I just ask you to show us right now if there are any wrong tenets in our mind, any intruders, any strongholds. Lord, bring it to our memory. I thank you, Lord, we make a commitment. We're not going to leave this building with the wrong things in our thinking. That even right now, Lord, we're just letting that go, trusting that you're in control, believing you are who you say we are. Lord, I thank you today, strongholds are broken. I thank you, Lord, just for fresh vision and just new thinking patterns, Lord God. We're going to keep our minds stayed on you. And Lord, as we've already declared, finish the year strong and see great things in 2024 in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to protect your people, their children as they go to school, as they go to work this week. I just speak your blessings. We cover them with your blood, your angels protecting them in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life.
You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy in your thoughts, he'll whisper, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of all the people. I have people at house. In my house, I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few more. Come on, Lakewood, let's cheer them in. Still standing all over. Up top. Still time for you, watching, listening, anybody else? Well, God bless you, and please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know it took courage to stand. More importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God's never going to be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. And the scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind all praying this after me? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, let me say in one more moment, let me tell you how much we love you. We're going to be praying for you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment for the next year, just like you go to work, that you're going to be here in person, online, on the radio, however you do it. For that next year, I'll make a promise to you. Before the year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. And I know Sundays you're busy, you got work, you could run errands. But let me tell you, there's a blessing on your life. Like Lisa talked about, when you put God first place and you get into a community of faith. I hope you'll take me up on that offer. Hey, after service, there's a room over here called New Beginnings. And there's people you can talk to, meet some people from Lakewood, any information, whatever you may need. You can take the New Beginnings course online as well. Classes after service for all of us as well, plus online. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible. It's December 3rd, 2023, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together, if you would, please. Thanks so much for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, know that we love you very much. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you his favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass, and whatever lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. 'Cause I will worship Your holy name. Lord, I will worship Your holy name. I love You, Lord. For Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life You have been faithful, and all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You were close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. Desperate for you. I surrender. Drench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst. I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. Yeah, I want to know you more. Like a rushing wind, Jesus' breath within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. I surrender. Oh, I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show, hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. The last couple songs there is from my Glory to God CD. You can buy that on outthegutter.com. And then also make sure to get my Dreamer single with featuring John Lennon. Make sure to get that on outthegutter.com as well. And then I want to say thank you, Joel Osteen, for being a guest appearance today on this show. And I'm going to tell you guys the schedule for this week. So Thursday at 8 p.m. is James Cameron. Friday 8 p.m. is Julio Iglesias. Saturday at 8 p.m. it's Johnny Depp. Sunday at 8 p.m. it's Joel Osteen for the 2-hour gospel special. So again, that Thursday at 8 p.m., it's James Cameron. Friday at 8 p.m., Julio Iglesias. Saturday at 8 p.m., Johnny Depp. And Sunday, again, a 2-hour gospel special, Joel Osteen. Do not miss it. Make sure to definitely, another strong week coming, full of great guest appearances, not it show. And then also make sure you guys go on Barnes & Noble and get Money, the last issue of Money Talks magazine, the last article for the Hypnotic Show. You can get that there on barnesandnoble.com. Also, go to K9Magazine.com and do get the cover that me and MJ were on. And then get me on Cameo, cameo.com, to hire me. Peace.